Well, on this Thursday, as other parts of Florida wait for the arrival of a very dangerous storm called Matthew here in Florida's capital city, we're hoping and praying for the best for all of our fellow Floridians, wherever they may be. And many of them are actually apparently coming to visit us. We had an unofficial report that there are few, if any, accommodations of the commercial variety left in Florida's capital city, because a lot of folks have already hightailed it out of South and Central Florida and are heading north to escape Matthew, and we'll have some additional details on that as we go throughout the day here on WFSU-FM. But in the meantime, welcome to Perspectives. I'm Tom Flanagan. So good to have you at the other side of the radio waves and the telephone lines and the Twitter device and all the ways we communicate with each other right now. And if you want to be part of the discussion at any time during the next 54 minutes or so, give us a call at 414-1234. That's the local number, 800-926-8809 is long distance between you and us, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email if that's your preferred form of communication. Oh, and for you Twitter freaks, it's at WFSU Perspective. There seems to be little debate that the employment situation for people with disabilities today is considerably better than it was, say, 20 or 30 years ago. And yet memories still persist of a time in this country when someone who suffered a debilitating injury on the job was terminated in many instances with no recourse, compensation, or any hope for the future. But still to this day, there is some resistance among too many employers when it comes to adding those with existing disabilities to their workforces. So to answer some of those lingering concerns and to talk about all the resources now available to ensure a brighter and more productive future for our friends and neighbors and family folks who have disabilities, let's meet our Perspectives panel for today as we celebrate October, which is Disability Employment Awareness Month. We say hi first to Jim McShane, Chief Executive Officer of Career Source Capital Region, and it is so good to see you, Jim.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm really happy to be here and just looking forward to the discussion today.
I am too. Right across from you, we got John Finch, Director of Able United, a new organization, right, Jim?
Brand new organization. It's based on the Achieving a Better Life Experience Act that passed last year in the state of Florida, and we just launched July 1st. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on and hopefully share some knowledge about what we're doing.
A real pleasure to meet you and to find out more about your organization. When it comes to, however, let's just say a veteran organization when it comes to serving folks who have disabilities is the ABLE Trust, and full disclosure, perhaps the longest running underwriter for public radio here in Florida, and president and CEO of ABLE Trust, and having an MBA also, we might add, is Sue Homan. It is so good to see you, Sue.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here, and I appreciate your hosting the show today at the launch of the 2016 Disability Employment Awareness Month.
It is a great honor to have all three of you folks here with us. But let's defer here first to you, Sue. How long has ABLE Trust been around? And for those folks who aren't familiar with the organization, what do you guys do?
Okay. Thank you, Tom. We've actually been, I like to tell people, about jobs since before it was popular to be about jobs. We've been in business since 1990, 26 years, and we have been working on creating successful opportunities for employment for people with disabilities since that time. We started in the beginnings with a small grant to an organization for about $35,000. Now we routinely grant about $2 million to communities around the state, and we have a major youth program that's operating in 43 sites around the state that help people with disabilities get the right training, the right career path so that they can become employed and be what they want to be, which is a productive member of society and a part of the world as we see it.
Over those 26 years, I know you have accumulated just an absolute raft of success stories. I want to talk to you about some of those in a little bit. But for John Finch, ABLE United, new organization, as you said, since July, do you guys do the same thing as ABLE Trust? Are you different? Do you dovetail? How does that work?
So we often get that question, is the similar name. But no, we're actually a brand new organization. It's based off the ABLE Act, and employment is a huge part of empowering individuals with disabilities, whether to transition out of school into a job or to college, and then gives them a sense of independence. So families about 10 years ago realized that there's another part of that equation is saving. Many of these individuals require federal benefits, whether it be Supplemental Security Income or Medicaid, and they rely on that. Well, many of those programs have a $2,000 asset limit. So it really restricted people into being able to save funds past $2,000. So as people start working and they start, you know, acquiring more wealth, they don't know what to do with this funding without jeopardizing their benefits. So the ABLE Act was the work of advocates to pass this law that allows people to save more than $2,000, save up to $14,000 per year with the help of family and friends, and to do so while maintaining their government benefits. So state of Florida, like I said, last year passed this, and we just launched July 1, and we're trying to get the word out about how this can work with people who are employed or even not employed to be able to save for their future.
Not to editorialize, but that seems incredibly enlightened because you're not restricting folks when it comes to climbing that ladder of success. If you cap it at $2,000, what's the point?
Exactly. And we see that. So you know, parents and advocates and legislators realize that how can we empower people and how can we help parents that want to save for the future of their children or people that are working to save more than $2,000. And so this program came about after lots of 10-plus years of hard work and finally is here in Florida. So we're happy to get it launched and hopefully get the word out about it.
Well, when the rubber meets the road, the entire purpose of all this is to make sure that anyone who wants a job can find one. And boy, Jim McShane, that is what you guys do at CareerSource Capital Region, is to try to connect those who are seeking employment with those who can provide employment, and at the same time move your entire operation from South Monroe Street over there to the old Department of Corrections building on Blairstone, which in itself I understand was a very heavy lift in many ways.
Yeah, very heavy lift, Tom. And you know, the good news is now we're in a better position to be able to help people as they come in and get assisted with their job search. We are definitely career oriented at this point. We're also sector strategy driven. So at this point, we've looked at what economic development strategies are out there in our region. We serve Wakulla and Gadsden and Leon County. And our goal is, how do we align people that are coming in with where their skills and talents align with those sectors, and then making sure at our new location on 2601 Blairstone Road that we're doing what we should do to get them into the job that they're looking for. So we just had an open house yesterday, and we had our congresswoman there, which was wonderful, and our mayor and our commissioner. And it really was a show of strength between us. We had DEO and CareerSource Florida there too, because they're our partners in everything that we do. Our funding comes from the Department of Labor, but it goes through the Department of Economic Opportunity. And our CareerSource Florida board, which is the board over the whole state, is looking at policies and how to create policies that are friendly to help people get employed.
We add an email to the conversation here, which I think is terrific, as we look at some of the resources that are available to help people with disabilities to find employment and to build a better life for themselves and their families. And this comes from Victoria Wiggins, Assistant Public Defender, the Appellate Division, and says, I'm an attorney with cerebral palsy and fibromyalgia. I've been able to continue working full-time despite my conditions because of the John Patrick Personal Care Assistant Program, which reimburses me for my personal care assistance. Such assistance, she continues, is very expensive and used to only be covered by Medicaid, which kept many disabled people from getting full-time employment because they could not afford to lose Medicaid to pay for personal care. Kind of like what you were talking about there, John, with a cap of benefits.
Yes.
And she continues here, several years ago, the legislature enacted the statute providing this program reimbursing disabled full-time workers for personal care funded by revenue generated by the Department of Motor Vehicles, or DHSMV, more technically, when people renew tags and by various state attorney offices. So if someone's disabled, works full-time, and needs a personal care assistant for assistance with daily living activities, he or she may qualify. For more information, call Florida Association of Centers for Independent Living, area code 850-575-6004, or you can visit www.floridaacil.org. www.jobs.org. We'll go ahead, guys. We'll post that also on the site when we get that up. Sue?
Yeah, just to add to that, that's a wonderful program. The Able Trust does work with FASL on that program, and the reimbursement to somebody who is working with a disability for their personal care attendant can be up to $1,600 a month.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize that reimbursement was that large. That is really good. Yeah,
and,
Jim.
And I think that's one of the things that I'm seeing at the federal level, because we're federally funded. We're seeing more of our federal partners understanding that these cutoffs that were there in the place before were really disincentives for getting people into a job. And now we're starting to realize, and they're starting to have the support of legislative actions in order to get people to understand that, yes, you can continue to grow and get your job and start to save the money that you need to be self-supporting. And at the same time, we're not cutting all your benefits off. We're making sure that you're going to get to the place that you're trying to get to.
Yeah, because ultimately the idea is that you are going to become so productive and so successful that you are really going to be independent of many of these programs that helped you get started, right?
That's exactly. The hope.
That's the goal.
Okay. Thank you very much, Victoria Wiggins. I really appreciate that input there. And if anyone else has a thought, a concern, a question, or you want to share a story, particularly a success story when it comes to an employment situation involving a person with a disability, that's why we're here today on Perspectives at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 if long distance between you and us, or like Victoria, pop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. As we said at the outset, there is still some lingering misperceptions, should we say, floating around now on the part of some employers that when you are talking about hiring someone with a disability, you are going to have to retrofit your entire operation. There are going to be wheelchair ramps to every nook and corner of your operation. You're going to have to redo all of your computerized software and your order processing protocols and all this kind of. It will cost you out the yin-yang, and for what? Well, if that is perhaps a lingering, nagging thought in your brain, hang in there. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this rapidly approaching break right here on Perspectives as we talk about hiring folks who have disabilities, October being Disability Employment Awareness Month, and your input, too, all coming up right here on Perspectives. And welcome back to Perspectives with Sue Homond, President and CEO of Able Trust, John Finch, Director of Able United, brand new organization, and the CEO of Career Source Capital Region, Jim McShane, and John, who joins us on line one. Welcome to Perspectives, John.
Hi, happy to be here. Glad you're talking about what you're talking about. I've provided technology services for over 20 years for people with disabilities, and about 15 years into it, I have my own son who's on the spectrum. And this question goes out to John. We were like one of the first families to invest in the savings account. And that was in July when it first came out. And we discovered that the standard savings account that that is out there for education, I think it's a 509 or something like that.
529, yes.
Yeah, it didn't really. We began to discover that it wouldn't really apply as so well to our son. So we were only able to take the portion that was not accruing any gain. In other words, just the initial principal. And able to transfer that into the account, but we weren't able to take any of the interest accrued over the last number of years since we had that account. And it would be nice if there was a champion out there that would take on trying to change some of that legislation so that we could get we could get all those funds into some place that's more accessible to him.
Yeah, and that's a great question we usually get. And he's talking about 529 college savings plan. So these are accounts that people can save tax-free. It can grow, and they can help him pay for future college expenses. So currently, there is federal legislation that they're trying to pass, which will allow rollovers from 529 college savings plan to a 529A ABLE account. As you can see, that the IRS code was amended to encompass the ABLE program. So hopefully many legislators are pushing that, and it has strong support in the various disability communities on a federal level. So hopefully, this time next year, I'll have good news for you, and you'll be able to roll that entire amount over without it impacting you.
Okay, an email in from Lisa. It says, I don't know if it'll be mentioned or not, but the Department of Financial Services recently published a website called My Money, which is at myfloridacfo.com/mymoney, which is a tool for developmental disability folks to learn about money and finance. And Lisa worked on the team that created it. And that sounds like that is something for everybody, whether you have a disability or not. We do not get the level of maybe financial training that we should in school because of other demands, of course, not disparaging anybody on this. But, man, we could all learn some.
Yeah, and it is a great website. I know we reached out to the CFO's office early on when that was passed last year to create a financial literacy program for people with disabilities, intellectual and developmental disabilities. But I've had the opportunity to go on there, and they do mention the ABLE Act and other opportunities for individuals to save and to help build their wealth. But it is very explanatory. I mean, how to balance a checkbook, how to open a bank account. So it's very, very informational.
While we're talking about what else is needed, normally we defer this till kind of the end of the program, but I thought, wow, we're already embroiled in this discussion here. What else do we need? This is Tallahassee, the land of lobbyists and, being able to interface with the legislature on a pretty convenient basis because they're right downtown. What else does the disabled folks with disabilities, what else do they need that could be help as far as state legislation goes? Sue?
Yeah, I was interested in your comment at the beginning of this broadcast that there is some resistance to hiring people with disabilities. Actually, there's quite a bit of resistance. Mm-hmm. When we look at the unemployment rate for people with disabilities since the ADA was passed, which basically was also 26 years ago, we haven't really improved the employment rate of people with disabilities. We just finished a study indicating in Florida only about 30% of the people with disabilities are working right now. So there's a long way to go. But I think the big thing here is that we are running into a workforce shortage. I think we're all beginning to see that now. And there's a ton of talent out there that's not being employed. So getting back to your question about what else do they need, we have some federal and state laws that I think are big barriers to employment of people with disabilities, most notably some of the folks that earn more than a certain amount of money will lose some of their federal benefits. So many of them only work part-time. I've talked to actually just yesterday an employer who said, I have people I'd like to promote, but if I promote them and give them a raise, then they lose their federal benefits. Why can't they keep their benefits for just a little bit longer while they get their feet on the ground? That's one of the barriers. Another barrier is transportation, especially for people. For example, we talked earlier about people who have issues with blind or legally blind. They can't drive, so they have to depend on jobs unless they have help with transportation that are on the bus route, or they have to have somebody driving them. Those are some of the main issues that we've heard. But overall, there's a perception issue out there, and this is research-based also, which is that the average employer who hasn't worked with somebody with a disability doesn't think that they are physically and mentally capable of working full-time. And the studies show that's not true. So we have a major barrier in changing perceptions, and of course, things like this program help handle those misperceptions and address them. And we talk about them in this kind of a format, and it helps.
Well, certainly something else that could help, though, I'm thinking, Jim McShane, is the interface that you and Career Source Capital Region have with employers at all levels. They come in to you and say, hey, look, I am looking to expand my workforce. These are the skill sets I need. What can you do for me?
Absolutely. And that's really where we get into starting to break some of those old perceptions. Because when you say somebody has a disability, every person that you run into has a different perception in their mind of what does that mean. I know, and when I first got into this business, I had somebody who has had some disabilities working for me. They were excellent employees. They came to work on time. They never missed a day. They did the work that was required. This person had some mental issues, but at the same time, what we wanted them to do on the data side and making sure that things were done right and that all the forms were filled out, that person did an excellent job every time. So again, it gets down to we have to open up the business community's understanding that somebody may be missing an arm or anything that is somewhat disabled, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that they can't do a certain job for you. And so how do we do that? We work with vocational rehabilitation. They're our partner now in our new law. We work with the Florida Blind, the folks that are now starting to work in our career center now. And so we're starting to get that interaction. And then our account executives are the ones that go out and call on business every day and start to promote the idea that they need to look at these other areas. And especially now, we're at full employment here. Our average unemployment is at 4.2%. Anything under 5% is considered full employment. So we are in a position right now where just what you said, the business community is complaining they can't find people. Well, they have to open up their minds that there are other people that are out there that can do the job and understand that these folks can be the most valuable employees they'd ever have. And I've seen it over and over again, and I really promote that. I really think it's something that they need to think about.
I delight in constantly, and you've heard me tell this story before, Sue, and many folks here in Tallahassee will remember the late, great Ray Michaels. Slayton was actually his last name. Totally blind since birth, one of the finest radio broadcasters that Tallahassee has ever or will ever hear. And to watch him work one of the old-fashioned disc jockey boards and make sure the records and the tapes were queued up and his hands dancing across all of the labeled materials that had Braille stickers on them. And he just did an absolutely remarkable job in a field where heretofore people said, oh, nobody could be on the radio who can't see. How will you know what time it is? How will you know what's coming up next on the broadcast log? And the man was brilliant, and he was I miss him still to this day. John, what do you think? What else can be done to convince more employers that, my gosh, there is just a wealth of talent and skills and abilities here that, you know, we're missing out on?
Yeah, so I think Jim and Sue make good points. I think part of it is passing legislation that will allow people to start saving more, be able to earn more while keeping that safety net of services. I mean, Medicaid is so far-reaching when it comes to the services they offer. And so when you start to work and then you get to, you know, only $1,500 a month or so and you start losing that services, that's so detrimental to somebody's empowerment and trying to get to be full employed. And then Jim makes a good point. It's connecting with employers and realizing that people have abilities, not their disability. Focusing, making that shift to you need to look at what people can offer you and what they can do versus – you know, seeing people at face value and automatically making your judgments based on how somebody's appearance is.
Back to our available resources department, and this from Cody Gray over there at Goodwill Industries of the Big Bend. You know, it was good to see you at the reboot of several of your Goodwill outlet locations, Cody. I see that at the one up on North Monroe is the next one that's going to be revamped. Looking good, tell you. Hey, as you know, Cody says, Goodwill takes great pride in serving people with disabilities and other barriers to employment with free job training, specialized child care, housing, and so forth. And you can find out more about the services that they provide to the community from the sale of donated goods at www.goodwillbigbend.org/how we help, what services do we provide? And that's something else, Jim.
Well, and the other thing I want to bring up is that the state legislature has passed a law last year that is going into effect and shortly will be announced called Florida's Unique Abilities Partners Program. And the idea behind this program is really to get businesses to get a certification so that they understand, showing that they do understand that they can hire other abled people. That's what I always like to use as a term, because just as John brought up, these people have various abilities. And again, when it gets to business, it's really looking for the right talent to do the job that you're looking for. And if you're really serious about hiring people that are going to be productive for your operation, then you have to be open to whoever walks in, because some of the people that are being served by Able Trust and John, these are folks that can do that job and do it well.
Sue, one of the things that Able Trust does is to celebrate those businesses that hire folks who have other abilities, and that's a bunch of success stories that you have in your toolkit there.
Yes, and I do want to add one other item that we've put in place that actually is extremely helpful to getting people employed, and that's to promote internships and work experiences. One of the things that people sometimes in business don't understand is that a job for a person with a disability is just like a job for a person without a disability. There has to be a good fit. And if there's not a good fit, it's not going to be good for the employer or the employee. So we work really hard to get businesses used to having somebody with a disability by using work experiences like mentoring, job shadowing, and especially internships. In fact, we are co-oping with the State Chamber of Commerce on an internship program and offering to help pay for those internships just to get businesses looking at hiring people with the skills they need for a short period of time so that the worker can get some work experience for their resume and so that the employer and his or her staff can get some better ideas of the work and the skills that people with disabilities have. So examples, I've got examples that would keep us here for hours here, but one of my favorite stories is a story of a young man with Asperger's who actually went to work as a surgical assistant for a surgeon. I know that sounds kind of scary if you don't know a lot about people with disabilities, but people with Asperger's, with autism, have extreme attention to detail. And this surgeon took a chance on this young man who had a degree, but had the limits that autism brings. But he was a very detailed and precise person, and the surgeon told me that he never, ever gave him the wrong surgical instrument. So, again, the good fit story.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, do you have any that you could relate, John?
Trying to think off the top of my head of any employment-related stories that would help an individual. You know, I was in attendance yesterday for the Disemployment Awareness Month that APD hosts and gives out awards to employers who've gone on and beyond. And we heard from a couple of individuals themselves, and one was a gentleman, Mr. Adam Longfellow, who presented that works at Chick-fil-A here in town and talks about how he had the opportunity that, you know, through this job and just the success he's had, whether it's feeling empowered, feeling the independence, being able to make a paycheck, and partaking part of the society just like everybody else. So I think just those employers out there that are taking it and then being able to attend an award ceremony where they are acknowledged for the work that they're doing and employing individuals with disabilities. So, every time I think of Chick-fil-A, I'm going to think of Adam now.
Yeah, I'm back to something you said, Jim, that really stuck with me on a number of employees who were placed with businesses. And one of the most desirable and yet rarer skill sets today when it comes to that dedication, the sense of duty, the ability to show up on time, to work full tilt throughout the workday without, you know, updating your Facebook status every 15 minutes or so. That sort of thing, which seems to be, just from my observations, perhaps a bit more common among people who do have other abilities than the general run of the population.
That's been my experience, Tom. I have worked with workshops, some sheltered workshops. I've worked with other folks that really has shown me over the years. I have a nephew who is also very disabled and does folding towels every day. That's the most that we can get him to do. But our experience, my sister's experience in having to work with the state and work with everyone else, it's a challenge for a parent to try and utilize and get this young person to feel, well, he's getting older now, to feel productive in life. But everybody has something they can do. And that's been my look at jobs, is that everyone has something to contribute to our society, and how can we find out what that is, what their talent is. And that's what we're all about at Career Source Capital Region, is how do we determine what that talent is and assess that and get to the point where we can say to the business owner, this person's good. And like Able Trust, we do also work experience. The federal government at this point is really pushing that hard, apprenticeships and work experience. So that's where a lot of our money is allocated this year, is to both for youth and adult to get that work experience, because our experience has been too that once they're in there, most of them get hired, and that's what we want to do.
And it does not necessarily need to be limited to such things as folding towels or
right.
those sorts of Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
I mean, a man who is profoundly disabled on so many levels is one of the preeminent thinkers, not just of this age, but any age. Mm-hmm. And that certainly hasn't slowed him down any.
That's right.
No, he's not disabled. He has a disability. he is very brilliant. So his disability is physical, but the whole man is not disabled. He's very bright. And we try to emphasize that people need to talk about what they are able to do
right.
and not worry about the rest of that and just move around that.
Yes, the fact that Professor Hawking cannot run a marathon does not in any way take away from the contributions he's made to whether it's astrophysics or cosmology or anything else. So we are talking about other abled situations and particularly employment opportunities. And we would love to hear from you. Do you have a friend, a neighbor, a family member perhaps who has a disability and has achieved all kinds of career success? That could be an inspiration to a lot of folks, and we'd love to hear that story. Give us a call at 414-1234, 800-926-8809 as Perspectives rolls on this morning right here on WFSU. On Perspectives, as we celebrate October, which is Disability Employment Awareness Month, with our all-star panel of Sue Homott from the Able Trust, John Finch of Able United, Jim McShane from Career Source Capital Region. And a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then click Perspectives. We archive past shows and try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs, which will be before close of business today. So hope to see you online there. Back to our recruiting more employers, because that's got to be a huge component of this entire thing, as you, the folks who have that experience of hiring folks with disabilities and sing their praises and say, wow, best employment choice I ever made. You got to get that out to more employers. How do you do that beyond situations like this and Employment Disability Awareness Month and all? How do you spread that word?
Well, I think that's one of the things that this Unique Abilities Partners program is going to provide, is more visual and definitely spread out over a whole state experience of showing other businesses that this really can work and that they can really tap into it. And, you know, our Career Source Network is all over the state. There are 24 of us in the state to cover the whole state. And we're really involved about how do we get people into these positions and really fill the talent needs of our businesses. And I think that's going to be a good match. And then our vocational rehabilitation partner that's now in our law, working with them, we're going to learn a lot in the next year or so as they become more fully partnered with us in our services.
Well, Jim McShane, you mentioned the Unique Abilities Partner Program. Mm-hmm. Actually, was supposed to have launched yesterday in Orlando, but because of the impending storm called right. Matthew, that's been put off a bit. But right. when's that going to be rolled out officially?
I don't know. The date has not been sent to me at this point.
Okay.
So, but I'm sure it's soon.
Okay. We'll know more about that here when it comes out. Sue, you wanted to jump in.
Yeah. On the issue of matching up an employee with an employer, I think we have a responsibility, Jim, John, I, and all of our Voc Rehab and APD and other partners out there, to make sure that we're helping young job seekers with disabilities know what the jobs of the future are going to be so they can get training, they can get the certification, they can get the education necessary. Businesses have to make a profit or at least break even to stay in business. So we've never at the Able Trust supported just putting somebody in a position because it's the right thing to do. We want it to be good for the business and good for the employee so that it's a total win-win situation. Actually, it's more than a win-win because the family wins, the community wins, and the economy of the state of Florida wins. So I think we also have to look at it from the perspective of making sure that our folks that we represent, people with disabilities that are looking for jobs, that they get the right training, education, and they know what kind of jobs are going to be out there so they can fit their skills and their desires. And, of course, the Able United is going to help with that because it's going to give them some funds to go to school, maybe get additional training if they have to change jobs based on what's out there and available for them.
So, John, that means you have to do an awful lot of coordination with folks like Jim to when an employer comes. We're thinking now of the gang, let's say down at Domi, Mikey Wyden and all those folks. They come up with some whiz-bang idea, one of the entrepreneurs that's hanging out at that incubator, for a production facility that makes use of some of the cutting-edge research that just came whizzing out of FSU or FAMU, and they need some production people to bring this to fruition. And so they go to someone like Jim McShane and say, I need 15 employees who have these skill sets, and then you have to coordinate with him to make sure that that all comes to fruition, right?
Well, sort of, yeah. So Jim's in charge of trying to get people to jobs and working with employers. And then our piece is, you know, when they start working and if they're receiving benefits or if they're not, what are they going to do with their funds? You know, you start making a budget, and that's what that My Money website helps you do. You see where you're going to spend your money, but then how are you going to save? What are you saving for? And so that's what's so great with the Able United program is you're saving for future expenses. And it's like what Sue mentions, they can help. You know, with an Able account, you can help pay for health or transportation or assistive technology to help you with your employment. So I think a part of, you know, the employment piece is, I think hearing from employers that have hired individuals with disabilities to speak up and to show other companies that this can be done. I like to say I could speak to you till I'm blue in the face all about Able United and the accounts. But if you hear from a peer or from a person that actually has an Able account, how much more of benefit, how much more of that will relate to an individual and for them to, from an employer perspective, how much will you hear from another employer that, yes, this is a huge model, it's successful, and how they can implement it at their workplace?
That's got to be daunting for some folks, though, because of the additional expenses incurred. If you have a mobility challenge, for example, you had talked about that you have to rely on public transportation, perhaps. Or you can, like our old pal J.R. Harding, who has that tricked-out van of his, you have to do some pretty expensive retrofitting on a motor vehicle so that you can drive it. So it costs money to have a disability, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are, but I know for our family that's raising a child with a disability, I forget how many tens times folds it is more expensive of raising a child with a disability. So I can only imagine as an adult, you know, with the transportation issue, with finding the job and going to places and the accessibility to get those. So I know those are huge expenditures.
Yeah, but that is also something that without incurring a lot of embedded cost, employers can help with too, just by making some relatively modest changes to their workplace, right?
And low cost also, Tom. We've got lots of good examples. We talked about some before the program started, but I'll throw in my couple that I know about. We have a young lady who's working on our internship program who actually only needed one small accommodation. She was born without her right arm from the elbow on down. Her employer only had to purchase a left-handed keyboard to make her job productive, and that was about $60. So, and you mentioned earlier about people in wheelchairs raising the desk so the wheelchair can fit, and you can do that with cement blocks, which you might even not have to pay for. You might be able to pick them up from some kind of Home Depot or Lowe's.
You're not talking about trashing the next quarterly results, right?
Right.
Well, and just as Sue said, these folks are going to be a benefit to the business. They're going to help this business grow. And so you have to invest in your people anyway. So a minimum investment like $60 or changing the desk height or getting an adjustable desk, which is not that expensive these days, will accommodate for most people. And the assistive technology that is available now, as far as software goes, is not that expensive. It's something that you can easily afford. And most of us are getting bigger and bigger screens in front of our faces for our computers. So that becomes very easy to put in assistive technology for low vision people to be able to read through things. And we've done that in our centers because we obviously have to be accommodating of every person that walks in because we serve everyone.
I was amazed at the voice recognition software that is out there right now. Now, if people cannot even use a keyboard or a mouse, no problem, really.
Yeah.
And that is only going to get more and more friendly to this segment of the population as time goes on, right?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things that will help make the businesses more accepting of the fact that with very minimal investment, they can have somebody very good working for them and doing the job that they're looking for.
Beyond the recognition, beyond the it's the right thing to do, and those other considerations, though, what other inducements or motivators are there for employers when it comes to hiring folks with other kinds of abilities? Sue?
The same motivator they have hiring anybody. They're getting the right person for the job. So again, it's our responsibility to make sure that the training and education opportunities are there. But when you have a good employee, and anybody who's listening to the program besides the four of us sitting around the table here today will say that when you get the right employee, keeping them and making your business more productive is key. Losing a good employee and retraining, that whole issue of finding a new employee and getting them on board is very costly, not only in dollars but in time. So I think the reward is getting the right employee. One of the requests that we make routinely of employers is give yourself a chance to see what else is out there among the workforce made up of people with disabilities, and at least put in whatever advertising you do the phrase, people with disabilities are welcome to apply. Let's take a look at what's out there and give them a chance, and you might be very, very pleasantly surprised.
And how does all this interface with other resources like Tallahassee Community College has the Center for Production-type Jobs? The school district, Asvini Center, Lively, all of these resources, does this all kind of play in there? Did those guys say, hey, we're here, we will help with the training and bringing folks up to speed for these opportunities?
Well, I think you've given Tallahassee Community College a grant along this line, and we certainly work with them actually almost every day because they're one of our major suppliers of education and training. And yes, these are things that make it more available to somebody that is looking for a career. And then we're also going into career pathways now. So we're starting to map those out in Tallahassee area to try and get a sense of where can somebody go and show them the pathway to success from this job to the next job to the next job and how that their income can be improved. And that's something that actually Kim Moore from TCC is our head of our committee doing that, my predecessor before I got in this job. And she's done a great job. And we're really working with all the educational and training partners to try and make sure that we're mapping out all the possibilities that we can show somebody so they get a vision and understanding that there's a direction that they can take that's going to be productive. And, many jobs these days, especially like in IT, it can go into every single different sector that there is, whether it's healthcare, you name it. And IT is really the one that's in demand right now in our area, one of our biggest demands. Nursing always will be, but there are other things that you can do. And, I look at a hospital, that's a city in a city. And so how do we make sure we're helping our healthcare providers get what they need in skills?
Let's add Reed to the conversation here on Perspectives. Hey, Reed, how's it going?
Hey, Tom, how are you this morning?
We are doing well, sir. Thanks for calling, man.
My pleasure. I would like to compliment your panel. It sounds like the group you've assembled today is aware that a problem in the past in situations like this has been has been duplication of services, and it confuses people. They don't know where to go. Sounds to me like you've got people who are working together in a kind of a seamless operation that works, you know, step one, step two, step three, and that's very important. My concern and question is we're in a unique time right now because of the geopolitical system generating a whole lot more Americans and Floridians coming home with terrible disabilities and injuries and not just physical but emotional as well. We've seen, among veterans, a dramatic increase in the suicide rate, things like that. And I have to believe that a whole lot of that stems from the fact that many people come back, they have these issues, and they don't know where to turn. And I think one of the biggest things that we are lacking is a strong push for educational services. In other words, just getting the word out, period. And I wonder if the government is working with these NGOs to come up with a plan where, you know, you get a pamphlet when you get discharged that this is where you go.
Yeah, we've talked about that before here when we've had folks with both the county and the state and even the federal veterans organizations to talk about that, Reed. Really, really good point. Guys, we'll throw that out for returning veterans who may have a challenge. Do they know about Able Trust? Do they know about Career Source Capital Region, all that stuff?
Well, they do know about Career Source because we have disabled veteran folks that actually meet with these folks, get assessed of what their issues are, and then start to look for how can we address those issues with our partners that we refer to, and at the same time, get them ready to be able to be employed. So we have two people in our Career Source Center here in Leon County and one in Gadsden. And then we also have what we call a leaver, which is a local veteran person that goes out to call on businesses that are ready to hire veterans and really are keyed into trying to help them. So yes, we're a great resource for veterans. We're having our veterans paychecks for veterans next month in November. That's our big thing that we do over at the Armory. And again, our goal is to get businesses that are willing to help veterans get employed and have a preference and become preferable to employing those coming back. The other thing, too, at the federal level, I will say, is they're starting to get the idea because, you know, when you're trained in the Army or the Air Force or Navy, you have an MOS, you have something that you've been trained in, and how does that transfer into current skills in the business community? And so there is work going on right now to try and make sure that we understand in our system what those skill transfers are, and so that we can actually help somebody who's already been trained in something that has a value in the business community and get them into a position that uses those skills and enhances their life.
Okay. Sue, John, what do you think?
You know, many of the veterans that we deal with are younger people under age 30. And if they've gone into service and some of them into combat areas young and they come back to the States looking for a job, they're trained to do one thing, and that's to fight a war. And we don't have a lot of jobs out there that relate to that. So they need a lot of training. So getting our colleges and universities, our certification schools ready to take them in, welcoming them. And the Workforce Innovation Opportunities Act is actually talking about transition for the veterans. We work with all the universities where we help fund programs for people with disabilities. We encourage them to please make sure you seek out and help the veterans. As you mentioned, many of them have both physical and mental disabilities, and I'm glad this young man brought this up because about 50% of the disabilities in the country are mental health disabilities.
Exactly.
I know we talk a lot about physical disabilities. The people coming back from especially combat zones, a lot of them have both, so they've got a double whammy that they're dealing with, if I can use old-fashioned language. but you know, we need to help those folks get through that also. But a lot of it is getting them into the right transition period there so they can get skills that will fit the jobs now and of the future. And Jim works with that at his place, and John's got savings where they can take care of saving up for tuition and apartments and all of those kinds of good things while they're getting the education they need to get a job.
And now we have, of course, the new Veterans Medical Facility out there on East Orange Avenue, and so hundreds, if not thousands, of vets are going to be converging on Tallahassee, and it's an opportunity to get them involved. Time has flown. Jack, I am so sorry we didn't get to your call. We will continue this discussion in future, guys. Would love to have you all come back, and thank you so much for participating in today's program. Sue Homont, President and CEO of Able Trust, John Finch, Director of Able United, Jim McShane of Career Source Capital Region. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the interface devices today. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Taking next week off to tend to a family medical situation. Hope to be back the following week. But Perspectives rolls on. Our invited guest for next week's program, Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. Hope you can join us then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.